All right. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to finally be back into a church pattern. This has been a different time that we've been in. We have 51 people that are allowed to be here now, so we're getting back to the way things were. I've actually been enjoying watching church on TV, too. So to all the people that are watching right now, hi there. Glad you're here this morning. I've never actually preached on TV before, so this is a first for me. So hopefully that goes well. I did share the one morning on TV, so I have shared on TV before, but never preached. So I'm excited about what God's doing. And it's interesting, when I was preparing this word, I was actually scheduled to preach next weekend, not this weekend, and this weekend is Father's Day. So we don't actually have Father's Day words or Mother's Day words, but actually I do have a word. Actually, it's a word from Graham Cook, and it's just part of it. But it really depicts how our Heavenly Father feels toward us. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning, because I think sometimes we have a perception of who God is and how He really feels about us. But I think this really shows His heart this morning. So I just wanted to share this with you this morning. It's not a word for me, it's actually a word for everyone. It's been given to a lot of people, but I just wanted to share that with you this morning. It says, in everything that I am doing, I have several things that I want you to focus on with me. I want you to know who I am for you and how I see you. I make myself known so that you will feel safe in my love and my delight. In safety comes trust, therefore an alignment of your heart with my heart. When trust rules, faith is a platform which both to pray and receive from my heart. When your heart believes the truth of who I am for you, then your own rejoicing will lift you up. My word is my heart for you, the knowledge of how you are known in heaven. When you see yourself in me, you'll rest in the same way that I do. Nothing will overpower you when I overwhelm you. I live in you so that you may rise up within you. Everything that comes against you cannot touch the new man within you. In all your life situations, I am strengthening the new man inside you so that you have a real power to resist and to overcome. Beloved, the starting point for the new man to be empowered from within lies in you, knowing that, believing that you are a whole new person. Everything that is tied to the old you has already passed away from you. Your agreement with me is vital to your heart to grow up into all things in Christ, who is my beloved. I just thought that was really great, so I wanted to share that with you this morning. I think sometimes we have a perspective of our Heavenly Father, and He's got this big stick and He wants to whack us, but actually our Heavenly Father is gentle and loving and kind, and He wants to just saturate us with His love. The Word of God says that nothing can separate us from God's love, as far as the east is from the west. His love is there for us. I just wanted to call this preach this morning, how to walk in our new creation. When we ask Jesus to come into our life, He makes us new. He makes us a new creation. And I wanted to read out of Lamentations this morning. Lamentations was actually written by Jeremiah. And if you read the first part of Lamentations 3, I'll give you a disclaimer on that one because it's very negative. Because Jeremiah is in a really bad place. He prophesied that his city would be destroyed, and it was destroyed. And if you're an Old Testament prophet, when you prophesy something and it doesn't come true, it's not a good thing because they're actually going to kill you. There wasn't a lot of grace back then. So from a prophet perspective, it was good because what he said did happen, but it also really damaged him and brought him to a really bad place. And I think all of us as Christians have been in that place where we're in a dark tunnel and we see a pin light at the end and we think we're not going to be able to get there. But so the portion of scripture that I actually wanted to read out of Lamentations is where Jeremiah focuses on the good things. And I think our Heavenly Father, when he looks at us, he doesn't see the bad stuff, he sees the good stuff in us. So I'm reading out of Lamentations 3, 22 to 33. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, great is his faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid upon him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. No one can be cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. I think if we're operating out of the new man, I think what we really need to do is approach things new every morning. That we can come to the Lord every morning. Maybe there's something, a failure or something that we didn't succeed with that day, and we don't have to carry it into the next day. We can approach things fresh and new every morning. And I believe that when we do that, we will set ourselves up for what God has in front of us for that day. He'll prepare our hearts and our minds for what he wants to move in us and through us for that next day. The enemy is an accuser. He will always remind us of our past. It's interesting how the enemy will accuse us of something that happened in our past, and all he has to do is mention it. And then we are the ones that will beat ourselves up for days after. He accuses us, and then we go down that hole and we continue to beat ourselves up. But I believe that when we're dealing with the enemy, we need to say, actually, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to carry that into the next day. What happened in the past is behind me, and I'm going to move forward into what God has for me this day. I believe the best defense is a good offense. I enjoy playing hockey, and I believe that we need to move forward. We need to accomplish those things that are in front of us. And when we set ourselves up and we pray in the mornings in that new creation, in that new day, and have that fresh start, God will provide those opportunities for us in that day. move us forward. I think the first thing that we need to operate in the new man is that we recognize and believe that we are a new creation. In Romans 6, verse 4, it says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." When I was preparing this, I got a number of pictures. Actually, I got a couple of pictures. But the one picture that I got was a person dressed in clothes that were dirty and torn and beat up. And they approached some people, and the people gave them new clothes, and they went and they put all these new clothes on. And then they looked totally different. But then before they left, these people that were around them, they took their old clothes, they took the new clothes off, and then they put the old clothes back on and they left. And I was kind of wondering, well, what does that picture really mean? And I believe that the Holy Spirit just revealed to me that actually that's what we do in regards to sin, in regard to old habits and patterns, is we're actually freed from that. God has created something new in us, but we don't walk in those new clothes, in that new life. We go back into those old patterns, those old things. And I just believe that if we're operating in a new man, that those things have to die. We can't just put them back on and continue in that pattern. He wants to get rid of that pattern, get rid of those old habits, and enter into what he has for us that is new. Paul, in the book of Romans, in 7:14 and 15, he says, "For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." Even the Apostle Paul, all the things that he accomplished, he still struggled with the same issues that we all struggle with, entering into those old patterns, those old thought patterns and bad habits. But through the relationship that Paul had with Christ, Jesus did amazing things through him. And I think all of us are in that same boat, that God wants to do that new thing as he wants to do something new, something that we've never seen before. It's like God gave us a comfort zone, but I kind of wonder, well, why did he give us a comfort zone if he doesn't want us to actually stay in that? But maybe that's the reason of the comfort zone, is because actually then he can pull us out. He wants to pull us out of that. He wants to move us into something new. In Romans 3:23, it says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we don't have to stay there. We can put the past behind us. We can move into that, what God has for us. When we operate in his grace and repentance, change will occur, and we'll begin to operate out of God's true nature. The fruits of the Spirit are God's true nature. It's the attributes of his true nature. In Genesis 37 to 50, there's the biblical account of Joseph. If you've never read that, I just challenge you to read that because it's an interesting biblical account of how Joseph, he had a couple dreams and he was excited about these dreams that the Lord had given him, and he wanted to share these dreams with his brothers. But the dreams that he had, his brothers didn't receive it well. The one dream he had was stalks of wheat rose up, and then all the other stalks of wheat bowed down to his stalk. And so he explained that to his brothers, and it didn't really go well. They didn't receive that well. And then he had another dream of how the stars and the moon bowed down to him. And his brothers, again, even his father, rebuked him for that and didn't really understand the dream and what it was all about. And even Joseph, he was just excited about this prophetic dream and word that he had over his life. But it's interesting how when God gives you a prophetic word or something happens like that, then it's almost like you move in a totally different direction. And you almost think, well, actually this person missed it. That wasn't the right word. And I think that's how Joseph felt as well. You know, he was all excited about this prophetic word. Then his brothers throw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. You know, that's really not the way he was thinking this would go. But he was still faithful in even the situation he was in. And God blessed him and he brought him through a lot of circumstances. But he ended up being Pharaoh, and then one day he stood before his father and his brothers and they bowed down to him, and the prophetic word came to pass, but it was through that process that he got there. And I think a lot of times we don't always understand the process that we have to go through to get there, but God will bring us through. He'll bring us into something new. Even everything that's going on in the world right now, we're wondering, well, what is this all about? But I think it's God positioning us for what he has for the future. He's positioning us to be prepared for what he's going to do down the road. And I think that's how we have to perceive things, is, okay, this is where I'm headed. It seems like this is total disaster and not going in a positive direction, but it's God bringing me through the process to arrive where he wants me to be. I think to operate in our new man, we also need to abide in the vine. And I'm just going to read out of John 15, 5 to 8. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given unto you. This is to be my Father's glory, that you'll bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We must abide in the vine. And the vine consists of three parts, and they're very important parts. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all three are powerful, but they're used all in different ways. The root system of the vine gives us all the nutrients to produce the fruit. When we abide in him, what God is stirring in us, what is going on in our inner man, in our spiritual man, will come out. It's like God brings that stirring and everything he's doing through the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we're allowed to bring that out, and he uses us to minister to others and also to give them that hope that people are looking for in Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps us to stay, dwell, and remain in his fellowship. It was interesting that when Christina's dad was here, he was talking to me about where he has abiding places, where he goes in terrace and he'll just speak to the Lord and talk with him. And I think that's important that we have that place. I don't know, maybe someone here has a place in their home that they go and pray. Maybe you have a place, you know, in Quesnel somewhere where you can go and just talk with him. But I think it's important to find that place where we can abide with him, where we can spend that time with the Holy Spirit, just listening to him and allowing him to just minister to us, but also direct us and guide us. Abiding is the fastest way to become transformed because it is based on relationship, not performance. You know, a lot of the things that the Apostle Paul did, it wasn't based out of performance. It was based out of his relationship with Jesus. He knew that at some point in his life would probably be taken, and he didn't know when that would be, but he didn't focus on that. He just focused on what God put in front of him, and he operated that way in what he saw ahead of him, not how it would end. I saw another picture as well when I was preparing this, and it was a picture of a white hallway, and then it led to a big white door, and then there was a big security. I don't know. He looked like a big security guy. I don't know if you've seen those really massive big security guys that look really tough and really big, but that's what he looked like. But he was all in white as well, and Jesus, what the Holy Spirit kind of explained to me about this picture as well was that Jesus approached the door, and he said, "Okay, I want to go into this room." And the security guy said, "Okay, well, you can go in, but these other two guys behind you, they can't go in." And he said, "Well, I'm sorry, like, actually, we all have to go in. It's not, you know, it can't just be me." And it was a description of the Trinity, that actually they're all together and they're all vital. And they all, when they enter in through that door, they all come together. And it's something that we can all access, that we have access to the Father. We have access to Jesus. We have access to the Holy Spirit as well. That they're all together. They're all one. And we can operate in that. We invite all of them. We don't just invite one. So, in John 14, verse 16 and 17, it says, "And I ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you." The Holy Spirit, in my opinion, is probably the most powerful in the Trinity because he brings it all together. He gives us relationship with Jesus, with God the Father. And he's also the comforter. You know, a lot of times we will go through things, and, you know, a lot of times there's no one else that we can really go to. And he's the one that will be there with us, that will minister to us, that will help us through the situation that we're going through. He wants to dwell and abide with us. The Holy Spirit is the greatest resource that we will ever have. God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's, you know, an all-star lineup. You know, you have three of the greatest powers there is in the universe, and we can access all three of them. It's the three and one. You know, we're the plus one, and Jesus is the three, really, is how it works. You know, we can access all three, and he will lead and guide us. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." John 14, 26 and 27. The Holy Spirit will be the person with every solution to every problem. Every problem has a provision. And those three will give us the answer that we need. They will find the solution, give us what we need to get through what we're facing. When I was preparing this, I kind of saw the Trinity from a hockey perspective. I don't know if any of you know hockey. If you're Canadian, you probably do. Which everybody is Canadian here. Or if you're not Canadian, then you might be Canadian, but anyhow. I looked at the Trinity from a hockey perspective, and what I saw was Gordie Howe at center ice. And I saw him as God the Father, and then I saw Mario Lemieux as right wing. And he's Jesus, and, you know, a powerful right winger. And then I saw Wayne Gretzky on left wing, and he's the Holy Spirit. And I thought, that's an all-star forward line right there. You know, they're all powerful. They're all amazing hockey players, and they all have different roles. And to me, that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's like a Wayne Gretzky. You can just do anything on the ice. Just amazing, you know. And he brings all the other people down. You know, if you're defending against a Wayne Gretzky, you're thinking, okay, is he going to shoot? Is he going to pass? What is he going to do? It's like the defenseman doesn't know. The goalie doesn't know. And then you got Mario Lemieux, just amazing, amazing hockey player. He can just do it all himself, can power through, can pass, shoot. Another scary people coming down on a goalie and a defenseman. And then Gordie Howe, just a grinder in the middle, just toughness. He's just going to tough it out. Has the maturity and wisdom to know what to do in every situation. And I think that's kind of my interpretation of the Trinity. If you don't understand hockey or like hockey, that's okay. But that's kind of how I see the Trinity, and that we can access all these things, all these three powerful persons, God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And we have access to them. In John 15, 26 and 27, it says, "When the Counselor comes, who I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for he has been with me from the beginning." When we abide with the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, he would just give us what we need in every situation. I think that, you know, it's important. Jesus, when he didn't know what to do in a situation, he said, "Well, I'm just going to pray." And he would spend time with his Father, and then he had asked his Father what he wanted to do in that situation. And I think that's that models what we need to do as well. We don't always have the answer to every situation, but the Holy Spirit does. When we trust and listen to Him, He will guide us and lead us through it. He will give us the wisdom that we need in those situations. And the way that we learn to trust Him is we have to spend time with Him. If you don't have a time every day that you set aside for Him, I just encourage you to start that. Start a time every day where actually this is the Lord's time. I'm gonna get into His Word. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna listen to Him. And I want Him to lead and guide me into what He has for me. In John 16:13-15, it says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide me into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs in my Father is mine, and that is why I said that the Spirit will take from me what is mine and make it known to you." The Holy Spirit is the smartest person that we all ever know. He knows what to do in every situation. He will not give us something bad. He'll give us something good. And when we follow His leading, we will see the fruit of that in our lives. It was interesting. I did listen to Tyrone's leadership training from Penticton online, and I really enjoyed his time that he shared with us. And one of the things that he mentioned that really hit home for me was he said that the Holy Spirit isn't an add-on. And I thought that was really vital, that actually the Holy Spirit is God, Jesus is God, God the Father is God. They're three equal parts and powerfully, and it's not an add-on. I think sometimes we say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's like the Holy Spirit is just this thing that we kind of casually add on, but actually it's one of the most powerful, just as powerful as the other two. And when we let Him lead and guide us through the situation, we may not even know where it's going, or, you know, this whole COVID thing, it's almost like it was something that we've never approached before, didn't really know how to approach it or where it was going. But the Holy Spirit will lead us through these situations, what's coming ahead of us. And what lies down the road, I don't know. We might be faced with more situations like this in the days ahead. But Jesus doesn't change. The Holy Spirit doesn't change. And God the Father doesn't change. They don't change. And He will give us what we need when we need it. But I think, actually, I'm going to end there today. But I just really felt this morning that, you know, maybe there's someone even watching this morning, and you're facing situations, and actually you don't know what to do in that situation. Or maybe you don't even know who God is or who Jesus is. And I just believe that this morning that He wants you to know that He loves you dearly and He has a plan for your life, that there's nothing that can separate you from His love, that He wants to embrace you, He wants you to abide in Him, He wants you to have a relationship with Him. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship with a loving God who knows everything about you and has a plan for you for the future that is good. And I'd just like to pray for everyone this morning and just pray that as we move into the future, we will just be led by Him, that He will lead us and He will guide us. And even though we don't really see how it's going to end or where we're going in the situation, that He has a plan and He will accomplish what He started in each one of us. So Lord, I just thank You for everyone here and everyone watching this morning, that You would just guide and direct them, that You would just make Yourself known to them, that You have a plan for each one, that no one can be separated from Your love, that You want to just pour Your love into them, that You want to lead and guide them down the path that You have for them, that You want them to be empowered by Your Holy Spirit, God, that we can accomplish Your plan, God, that our will is not Your will, that You have a plan for each one of us, and to accomplish that, I just thank You for everyone here. I thank You for what You're doing in the city of Quesnel, what You're doing in all the churches around the world, that even though things seem to be out of control, that You are always in control. You will lead us through this. I just thank You, Lord, for who You are and who we can be through You. In Jesus' name, amen.